So, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 135C, and we're on page 542. And we've been looking at the effects of this important triangle. He's elaborated rather more. A triangle which started to come to power in 1875 and diminished in its effectiveness by 1975 and emerged into fullest power by 1945, for better or for worse. And I suppose it was a time of victory. It would be then for better. And then he has elaborated the meaning of the Leo part of it, with its association with Uranus, the seventh ray, Aquarius, and the 11th house. And all of the foregoing paragraphs have been about that. Now it looks as if he's about ready to begin discussing the second member of that triangle, sometimes listed after Leo, sometimes listed in the third place, but it's Capricorn. And it's Capricorn, as you have been told, is related, as you have been told, to initiation. It is also the sign of the coming world savior. Well, in a way, the birth of the Christ in the heart. The world savior must be born in every heart, and that occurs at Christmas, and that Christmas is set just a few days into the ingress of Capricorn, really should be set at the Capricorn equinox, winter in the north and summer in the south. The coming world savior and these higher aspects of the Capricornian influence can be potently demonstrated. There are also lower aspects, he talks about them, if humanity wills it, because Capricorn is a sign of will. Sign of will, a major first ray sign, if humanity so wills it, and will take advantage of the Venusian influence to use the mind as the reflector of soul purpose. So even the hierarchical ruler can affect humanity as a whole. So will humanity actually take advantage of the hierarchical rulership of Venus ruling Capricorn? And this is what Venus does. It uses the mind as the reflector of soul purpose. This is one of the very fine descriptions of the meaning of Venus in relation to Capricorn, and just of the higher function of Venus in general. So we're not interested in all of those low and debasing uses of the Capricornian force, which are so materialistic and so involved with the dense physical vehicle, and with, in general, the devil itself, you know, speaking of the devil as the lower eight powers of the lower 18 subplanes, unredeemed, and the inverted pentagram, the inverted number 5, we are not interested in that. Those things demonstrate but can be redeemed. So initiation is the upright pentagram. And the higher influences of Capricorn leading to initiation and to the elevation of many human beings can be demonstrated. The law of group progress, the fifth law of the soul, again the number 5, interestingly, can be demonstrated. And Venus must be connected with that fifth law of the soul, the law of elevation. And so the intellect or the mind need not be simply dedicated to its own sphere, but can reflect soul purpose. And then we will have, we will have the soul illumined mind. If this does not take place, the present world situation, the present situation, will turn into something far worse. A situation wherein the mass of men will be reinitiated into the earth and forced to turn their backs upon the dawning light. Maybe some will be able to preserve the higher consciousness, but maybe they'll have to go underground again as they've had to before. If certain trends in religious thinking are not corrected, We are headed in that direction, he warned us. The next war, if it occurs, will be in the Department of Religion. And we can also already see that shaping up. So there's a great contending of the forces of light with the forces of darkness to capture the desire nature of the masses at this time, and to capture the mental nature of those who are emerging from the masses or have emerged. When we have just millions upon millions of uneducated people, illiterate people, we have to call them members of the mass at this time. They are more responsive to the Cancer energy than to the Leo energy, although the Leonian dictators can impress them and manipulate them, and the demagogues can have their effect. DK warned against the demagoguery which could occur in this religious war, which could be shaping up even now, and we can see the danger. The values in the West must be reinstituted, and the real meaning of the Christ, not just as found in a declining Christian presentation of the true truth of the Christ, but the real Christ must again capture the imagination of the West. This will fortify the West against the eruption of ancient religious practices which have no business being forced in a totalitarian manner upon the people of the world and their consciousness. So this is the place. I thought it was in the Taurus chapter, but here it is. This discussion of the reinitiation into the earth. Obviously, in the old commentary, such a possibility was held out. And DK warns us about this. In many ways, it would be foolish to avoid the unpleasant possibilities. Very unpleasant, terrifying possibilities, and a real, real loss of all that has been accumulated. One cannot imagine that the content of the causal bodies would be somehow dissipated, because they have been, those treasuries are safe. But the opportunity to express the content of the causal bodies would be denied. And many who are rich in their causal body and could bring humanity into illumination could be forced to delay incarnation over many, many years, maybe thousands of years, and if they were incarnated, would find no scope for the expression of that which lay within them, because their internal spiritual riches would be opposed to all that had established itself in terms of negativity upon the earth. So this is, you know, maybe I'm a little dramatic here, but these are sentences which capture my imagination and which tell of the stakes which are involved at this present time. The mass of men will be reinitiated into the earth. Where is education then? Where is the light? It's the lower Taurus, you know, let's just call it that, lower Taurus, or crystallized, or dense Capricorn, and forced to turn their backs upon the dawning light, and the light of the age of Aquarius is dawning. You know, the song about it is a little bit sentimental, but it does indicate a real potential. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The sun has not yet risen, and in the year 2117, from the technical astrological standpoint, will rise. A dark period of civilization will ensue, and instead of the dark cave of initiation, wherein the light of the initiate's own nature illumines the darkness and so demonstrates his command of light, the dark cave of materialism and of physical animal control will take the place of the lighted way. Well, that's pretty grim. Pretty grim. And we can, you know, this is what I've been talking about in the battle between Venus and Mars. Venus, the up-pointed star, the upward-pointed pentagram, must win. Venus must prevail over Mars in this particular battle. The non-sacred planet Mars that is exalted in Capricorn, often with negative implications, and gives heat rather than light, must not prevail. So, if what does not take place, let us remind ourselves, if the higher aspects of Capricorn do not prevail, the sign of the coming of the world Savior, if these higher initiatory influences do not emerge, if the higher Venus does not emerge, and the mind does not begin to reflect soul purpose, then something much worse than the present, if one can imagine it, you know, they were in the middle of the Second World War, and today so many people are suffering as well, you know, they are denied all manner of liberties, and the four freedoms are not enacted in so many countries. The freedom of speech is challenged, religion is challenged, freedom from fear is challenged, freedom from want is challenged. Even today it's quite terrible, but we have not yet entered this period of reinitiation into the earth. We do have to remember that Aquarius does rule the lowest of the creative hierarchies, and that which is the most material of the hierarchies. And so it is not entirely inconsistent with the idea of reinitiation into the earth. Aquarius is also ruled by Saturn, and Saturn can represent the lower aspects of Capricorn and its crystallization, and Mars, which is the animal nature, can be exalted in Capricorn. Well, kind of takes your breath away. We can be reinitiated into the earth and forced to turn our backs, their backs, upon the dawning light. A dark period of civilization will ensue. Instead of the dark cave of initiation, wherein the light of the initiate's own nature illumines the darkness. This reminds me of the old Egyptian rituals, where you were quite in the dark unless you had your own inner light. And only with your own inner light could you survive the crocodiles that were put along your way. So otherwise you might just walk right into them. So self-generated light necessary for the initiate. So instead of that dark cave of initiation, and so demonstrate our command of the light, so we can see the path ahead of us in the apparent dark, the dark cave of materialism and of physical animal control will take the place of the lighted way. Sometimes when people are conceiving of what heaven is, they give it a very material twist. A very material, form-limited heaven is offered. And obviously, if you can begin transposing your own materialistic consciousness on the dense physical plane into heaven, we have a problem. But that is the literalness of the concrete mind, and the need for the true Antikarana to develop the abstract mind as it will be developed in the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race, into which we must find our way, with Neptune primarily ruling that number six and not Mars. The earthy aspect of Capricorn, the lowest concrete aspect of the mind, as Capricorn does bring in the fifth ray, as it tells us in one place, even constellationally, I believe, the earthy aspect of Capricorn, the lowest concrete aspect of the mind, and an increased control by the Taurian spirit in its worst form, will take the place of divine possibility of entrance into the greater light. So these can be two signs of quite imposing darkness rather than of light, and the manifestation will take the place of the divine possibility of entrance into greater light, the manifestation of the soul nature and the recognition of the light which is found in the eye of the bull. So what a choice. But let the modern disciple and the person who cares about the fate of humanity really be apprised of the possibilities. The danger is great. It is still great, and we see the eruption of the Martian Plutonic consciousness in many places, and people questing after atomic power and atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs who have not yet conquered their Martian plutonic nature in the lower sense. So when the Christ says he tries, does all possible to avert a final war, it must be an incredible task, because he's limited by the Syrian law of freedom. You know, he cannot force choice upon humanity, but he must seek to engineer circumstances in such a way that the right choice will be evoked from human beings. And we have not yet reached the point where the choice has been made, at least in my opinion. That choice, which in a way is a lower correspondence to the temptations in the desert, you know, are you going to choose the world, the flesh, and the devil? There are lower correspondences to this. The Christ, of course, had a very high task, and maybe it was part of his preparation with the sixth initiation. The world, the flesh, and the devil were on a very high level there for him, but we have a much lesser choice, but still extremely significant in terms of the fate of humanity. So Capricorn and Taurus and, you know, lower Vulcan here can all conspire together to rob us of many of the gains which we have achieved through the last, through the Renaissance, which basically began in 1425 with the third ray cycle on a higher turn of the spiral, and man could become an abstract thinker and philosophically understand his life in terms of renewal. And then the scientific spirit entered in and began to prove what was real, at least in the outer worlds, so that we no longer had superstition telling us how to behave in the realm where only scientific facts apply. All that would be lost, and the forces of ignorance. I mean, when you see people burning girls' schools, or burning schools in general, you see a group that basically whose name means books are evil, or Western education is evil. You know that those forces are trying to rise. Those are the forces, the very forces of ignorance that we're talking about. I just saw some, well, you know, I realize this might be listened to 10 years or 20 years, maybe, after I make this, who knows. But I looked at what happened to Detroit, once a thriving city, and the elements which are gathering there, and the great decay which is occurring. The forces of dissolution are with us. This is the Kali Yuga, and this is the end of the age of Pisces, and we're in a very Plutonic period in that respect. And Neptunian, things are falling apart, and we have to have the structure of that which will emerge in a better sense, substanding that which appears to fall apart in front of our eyes. These are perilous times, full of opportunity. Interesting times in the old Chinese sense. May you live in interesting times. So here we are. Such are the possibilities confronting the world of men today. The issue is dependent on the final triumph of the forces of light working through the allied nations, and or on the control of the forces of materialism. But you know, it's not over. It's not over. Even though the forces of light, the forces of light, I just want, you know, am I lazy or efficient? I don't know. But F-O-L could mean the forces of light, and I want to make it possible to write the abbreviation, forces of light, coming through like that. Yes, okay. So even though the forces of light did, in a sense, triumph, the Tibetan warned against the non against the or warned that the forces of darkness had not been completely defeated, and that the door to evil and through which evil could enter had remained ajar. And so a growing evil or disease could still be affected. And he warned, he said, look at the parable in the Bible, the man swept his house clean. Was it of 40 devils? I don't know how many devils it was. He swept it clean. And then later found himself in worse condition that he had been in before he swept it clean, because I suppose he stopped paying attention and did not stop the creeping evil, which reinfested his house with far more than 40 devils. Well, are we in that situation today? Germany represented materialism in the West and Japan in the East. Materialism. Well, as D.K. said, through Tokyo, the first ray in its more material aspect emerges. Words to that effect. And, of course, Germany has the first-rate personality, and Pisces, interestingly enough, is a sign of great materialism when it is misunderstood. You know, the old saying, the mantra, go forth into matter, and Virgo is there as well. So the Pisces-Virgo axis is very material and also gives us, through love, the redemption from materialism. I would also add that those in both nations, and there are many such, who in both nations, and there are many such, represent the lighted way, were so imprisoned in their environment and so dominated in their personalities by the thought form of the powerful rulers that for them right action was impossible. I'm reminded here of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Is that how you spelled his name? Dietrich. Possibly. Maybe why insult the man? Why not find the real spelling of his name? And that is, let's see, D-E-T, Dietrich. No, there it is. Bon, H-O-E-F-F-E-R, D-I-E, Trich, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. D-I-E. And that's correct, Bonhoeffer. He died in the last days of the war, an excruciating death, but he worked constantly under imprisoning conditions to ameliorate the condition inflicted by the Nazis. So he was a great theologian and practical Christian, worked constantly to promote the expression of the spirit of Christianity in a very dark space. He might not even have been killed, but perhaps his kind of a martyrdom in a way made him more prominent in the minds of men. His spirit, one understands, was very beautiful. So there were still those who represented the lighted way in these countries, but they were cribbed, cabined, and confined in every respect. They were imprisoned. So imprisoned that their personalities by the thought form of their powerful rulers, that they could not take, they could take right action within themselves, but not right action which was broadly influential. So it is this thought which prompts the hierarchy to renewed effort, I suppose, seeing the possible dire outcome for humanity. Renewed effort. The forces of light recognize and work for the spiritual good of all people, irrespective of their national relations. It's just egoism on a national scale, nationalism is. They are working for the release of Germany from the glamour which descended upon her people. Notice he didn't really mention Italy here. He said Japan, materialism in the East, and I suppose under Capricorn made it fairly easy, and Germany, materialism in the West, regardless of high words which would indicate something different, regardless of listening to Wagner and listening to Beethoven. What did Hitler say, that a Nazism without Wagner is unthinkable? Well, all right. Probably Wagner did not have that in mind, although he had a very strong Taurian energy in his nature. So they are working for the release of Germany from the glamour which descended upon her people all too easily through the Pisces personality. The hierarchy makes the distinction between the bewildered mass, the wrongly educated youth, and the obsessed leaders in all branches of the government. The latter are shells, obsessed by evil entities, and hence their dynamic one-pointed potency, hence also their extreme skill and cunning. This is so interesting. You know, where was the real Hitler, Streicher, Goebbels, Himmler, Ribbentrop? Where were they really? Nothing but shells. Well, I suppose the entity is still there, but the great evil entities are overpowering. So there was a bewildered mass, not knowing right from wrong and following what seems idealistically promising, the wrongly educated youth, educated into thinking that they were part of a super race, and of course the obsessed leaders, who through ages of selfishness put themselves into a condition where they could be easily obsessed without the heart power. A certain aspect of the heart, I suppose, as Master Moria says, obsession can happen. So it is the power of the heart, and not just the outer aspect of it, but the real power of the heart, which repels the obsessors. And none of them had this second ray in any measure working through the heart in a positive manner. The latter, the obsessed leaders, are shells, obsessed by evil entities, and hence their dynamic one-pointed potency, and also their extreme skill and cunning based on very ancient evil experience, and hence also the well-nigh ludicrous falsity of their propaganda. Still, the whole idea of the big lie was there, and if you want a lie to be believed, tell it big and tell it with conviction. Ludicrous falsity of their propaganda, very ancient evil experience. Who were these entities? He says, speculation anent which is profitless and dangerous. So the hierarchy is not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It realizes that many people under their spell were not so responsible for the evil. They were simply bewildered, misled. They were deluded by the destroyers of souls, the deluders of souls, and the manipulators of souls. The three types on the first, second, and third ray who allowed their dweller to get the better of them. So these entities who fled at the end, of course, when there was no further purpose in staying there, leaving the psychologically racked host to wonder what had happened, I suppose. They are the spirit of materialism embodied, devoid of all true feeling and perception, lacking the light of love and understanding, but powerfully animated by the energy of substance itself. He's saying a little bit about the members of the Black Lodge, the lords of, wicked lust and hateful something. It goes, I'll just put it, wicked. Wicked lust. Wicked pride and hateful lust. There it is. Page 754 of the Rays and the Initiations. So this is rather interesting here. The nations of the world allied themselves with the forces of light to a very large extent, and little by little, cosmic evil was forced back, and the door which conceals the place of endless death and hides the countenances of the lords of wicked pride and hateful lust was partially closed, but not entirely shut. Its final closing and sealing is not yet accomplished. So those are powerful, powerful words, wicked pride and hateful lust. The door which conceals the place of endless death, death to real consciousness, I suppose, and hides the countenances of the lords of wicked pride and hateful lust. Okay, so they are the spirit of materialism embodied. They are under the captivity of a great material deva, much allied with the previous solar system. Most of them, are first-rate souls, have a powerful first-rate in some respect, and probably are from the initiates of the previous solar system, having basically the third-ray monad, devoid of all true feeling, maybe glamorous feeling, but not devoid of, and perception, because they are lords of a unique blindness. They have a what's called unique blindness, lacking in the light of love and understanding, but powerfully animated by the energy of substance itself. So the moon and Vulcan negatively, and a material energy, and even Aquarius, which rules substance in its lowest grade, the lowest of the creative hierarchies, could animate them. It is time that men woke up to the nature of these beings who sought, under the present grouping of constellations, to enslave the race. We can imagine Leo, Capricorn, Pisces. What do we have? Wicked pride. We have Capricorn, hateful lust. We have Pisces, delusion. I'll put that in, you know. Wicked pride. And Capricorn, you know, the goat is ever sexually aroused here. Hateful lust. And also Pisces, extreme glamour and illusion, or delusion. The earthly influence of Capricorn made their activity possible. Interesting how many of them, Philip Lindsay did an analysis here, a lot of them had the Capricorn moon. Hitler did too, and the sun in Taurus, and an elevated Saturn in Leo, a shambolic influence inverted. And who would know that? Because probably others with his similar horoscope did not respond in that manner, but he had much preparation. He thought he was, in the Parsifal legend, he thought he had been Klingzor, who was the carrier of the Spear of Destiny, and who was once a member of the Brotherhood, but had fallen away into the darkness, and then thereafter sought to lure every knight of the Grail into his own evil fate. So the earthly influence of Capricorn made their activity possible. Well, DK has said, the best of men and the worst of men. They themselves have been evoked out of their evil past by the material side of humanity itself, brought forward, and the potency of the mass selfishness of mankind. Now, remember where he said that the present leaders of the forces of light and the forces of darkness are the same as in the Atlantean War. And that's an amazing thought, really. The Atlantean War is that. Well, these are grave thoughts, that these beings who may have been the very leaders of the great Atlantean War on the negative side, with men like Churchill and Roosevelt on the positive side, that these leaders had been evoked out of their evil past. Maybe they would not have incarnated. Maybe they would not have incarnated in any kind of position of power by the material side of humanity itself, since, we're not just talking about the leaders here. We're talking about actually the members of the Black Lodge and how closely they were brought in relationship to humanity. So they are the spirit of materialism itself, and the materialistic aspect of humanity reinforced by Capricorn brought them closer, and by the massed selfishness of mankind. Such a Martian factor. We see how Mars, the exalted planet in Capricorn, is related to the five senses and to dense material science, orthodox science, the kind of science that is very limited and deals only with that which the senses present. The whole thing is like an attack by Mars and lower Saturn. In like manner, the forces of light can be evoked in tremendous potency, but only by the massed aspiration and spiritual desires of the people of all the earth. Now, maybe that did happen, and maybe that's how, maybe this took place writing, let's say, before 1942 solstice, winter solstice, or December solstice, maybe. Because he may not, he will only tell us that there was a sufficient upreaching towards some sort of salvation, towards the hierarchy and the lords of liberation responded. He cannot say more. He cannot say exactly how they were evoked and in what way they responded, but basically there was a deflection of the power to know away from the German scientists who would have discovered the secret of the atomic bomb early and used it to destroy the Allied forces. So the Lords of Liberation were involved in that. We know Uranus, interestingly related to liberation, is also connected with the atomic energy and with the liberation of the atom. We can see that one of these lords at least did respond. And it's very interesting to read how that did happen. Lords, liberation, may not, Lords, liberation, respond. Well, let's see. Maybe here we'll have enough. When the invocation is rightly used and voiced by an adequate number of people, those who can in some measure employ the enlightened will may succeed in reaching the Lords of Liberation and produce a phenomenal intervention on some kind, and this did occur. So, let's go back. This is the discussion of the rider on the white horse. And, well, here, somehow under the Lords of Liberation, is the discussion of how this did happen. The Lords of Liberation could be successfully invoked. The Spirit of Peace might appear. And this is a continuing invocation occurring after 1942 and 1943 and 1944. Here it is. The necessity to withdraw was averted. I may not say in what manner, beyond telling you that the Lords of Liberation took certain unexpected steps. This they were led to do, owing to the invocative powers of humanity, used consciously by all those upon the side of the will to good and unconsciously by all men and women of goodwill. And owing to these steps, the efforts of those fighting in the realm of science for the establishing of true knowledge and right human relations were aided, and the trend of the power to know and to discover a definite form of energy was deflected away from the demanding evocative minds of those seeking to destroy the world of men, leading to a form of mental paralysis. Those seeking to emphasize the right values and to save humanity were simultaneously stimulated to the point of success. So it occurred somehow in the first ray, fifth ray area, which rules atomic energy, and the hierarchy did not have to withdraw. So that is page EXH, page 494. EXH, whoop, let's do it this way, 494. So he may not say how the need to withdraw was averted, and apparently there was sufficient massed aspiration and spiritual desire to make some kind of intervention on a high level which affected the mental plane possible. Okay. So maybe this was in fact also written before 1942. He goes on, speaking of Capricorn, of course, we have discussed already Leo considerably. The Venusian influences, as you will have noted, brings in likewise the influence of Libra, and we might say also of Taurus. You find today a cycle wherein an appropriate balance or point of equilibrium has been brought about, which is a correspondence to the great point of balance on the path of involution when spirit and matter balanced each other, making the upward arc of evolution the next possible step. So this is a large planetary happening, this reaching of the point of balance. I mean, remember when he talked about the crises of Capricorn, Leo, individualization, Libra, the point of balance between spirit and matter, and Capricorn, the movement towards initiation. You will find today a cycle wherein an appropriate balance or point of equilibrium has been brought about on what is a correspondence, at least in the present cycle of humanity, to the, to the great point of balance on the path of involution when spirit and matter balanced each other. I suppose maybe at the turning point, the full descent, and then the upward arc, to a great point of balance when spirit and matter balanced each other, making the upward arc of evolution the next possible step. So perhaps the rising of humanity and the balancing of those negative forces which were evoked out of their wicked past makes the rising of humanity possible. This balance between the forces of light and of darkness. This time the balancing is on mental levels and maybe not on the very low level where forms, evolutionary forms, can begin to be devised. This time the balancing is on mental levels. In the earlier crisis it was on the physical plane. Yes, indeed. So you know which ones I mean. If I were to turn to this, okay, and this would be the pictures, you know. So these are in the Fellowship of Cosmic Fire, and then here. So let's look at the point of balance. I think it occurs before this. There it is, okay. This is the path of involution, and the point of balance is reached here on the physical plane, and then the evolutionary ascent can begin, but this time we're talking about the mental plane. That seems to be the place where the intervention of the Lords of Liberation took place. This time the balancing is on the mental plane. In the earlier crisis, it was on the physical plane. The point of equilibrium is to humanity, to the sons of mind. That's what we are, and also, in a way, so are the solar angels. What the earlier point of crisis was to the planetary logos. So the true emergence into spirituality can occur for the sons of mind. The true emergence into spirituality can occur for the sons of mind. Spark of mind and sons of mind. I need the plural. This is a fact to be remembered. Because in a way, you know, there's quite an involutionary tendency, quite low desire in humanity, and even their reaching out towards heaven and salvation recently in this dark age is part of the desire to preserve the false identity, the lower ego. It's not a great gesture of altruism for the benefit of humanity. It is individual salvation, the preservation of an illusory aggregation of energies, an illusory and impermanent aggregation of energies. So, anyway, we have a higher point of equilibrium here. This is a fact to be remembered and given due place in your thinking. The problem to be solved is which aspect of humanity will finally triumph and so disturb the balance by achieving dominance, spirit or matter, soul or personality. Such is the nature of this crisis and not yet worked out as this book is being written. So in a way, you know, the astrology book was, I think the first part, written in the 1930s, really, with the treatise on white magic, pardon me, being written in the early 1930s. Oh, no voice. Maybe my voice has somewhat returned here. This is the sixth one today. I'd like to go for nine, but okay, we'll see. So it's still a question when the Tibetan is writing this, and maybe, you know, here's how it went: Treatise on White Magic, and then Esoteric Psychology 1 and 2 were written in the 1930s, probably later in the 30s, and maybe approaching the war, Esoteric Astrology, and maybe to some extent in the 1940s. As I say, I'll have to check with my friend Keith, who probably has a better notion of this and more records of this. But we get the idea. Maybe the question of the withdrawal of hierarchy had not yet been faced. Certainly 1945 had not arrived. And so it is still a question, as this is being written, which aspect of humanity will finally triumph. As in the planetary crisis, that's the earlier one, much earlier, if spirit should triumph, a new feature, function or quality of divinity will begin to manifest, the highest mind. Well, let's see. In the human crisis, the same thing is possible. If the spirit of man triumphs, then the aspect of true love in its divine nature and its group emphasis will be possible. So moving from mind to love. Maybe the abstract mind was able to enter in the planetary crisis and participate in the shaping and configuring of those new forms, which could be said to be aggregating under the law of evolution rather than the law of involution. These are the issues involved. So the aspect of true love in the divine nature, and we want to call this the true love of the soul. Maybe love was not the issue when it was decided whether there would be an evolutionary path bringing into existence the lower kingdoms, even perhaps the mineral kingdom, because the mineral kingdom is on the upward arc, interestingly enough. So one wonders about the condition of the earth before the mineral kingdom was created, or before it came to be. Sometimes we think of the mineral kingdom as the bottom because we don't have any knowledge as a race of the involutionary path and the use of the subtle substances to create involutionary forms. Well, these are the issues involved: the true love of the soul, and in the planetary crisis, the highest mind of whom? There were no human beings per se. Are we saying of the planetary logos, perhaps? Anyway, we have moved from mind to love. This is the important thing. To bring about the full presentation of the choice and to indicate the mode whereby the spirit of man can triumph, as there is a great choice, you know, involving the seventh house and Libra and so forth, coming under hierarchical Venus ruling Capricorn, the influence of Pisces was called in, or rather was evoked. And maybe this is why Pisces is listed last. This is why Pisces is listed as the last point in the triangle, because Leo and Capricorn set up the conditions by means of which Pisces could be evoked. So we definitely need this love energy which Sirius, Pisces, Uranus, hierarchy represents. So the full presentation of the choice was being given to the people who lived through that war experience, especially in the critical 1940s, when the highest or strongest influence of the triangle was culminating, 1945. It would have been the period either, I suppose, of defeat or of victory. It was, in fact, the period of victory for the Allies. It is conditions which evoke, aided at times by voice words of power on the part of the hierarchy. It is conditions which evoke. And the condition was set up. There was a great movement along the Leo line, strengthening both the will to good, but also the will to power. And Capricorn set up a choice concerning the reinitiation into the earth, or the possibility of initiation along the line of the Christ and the Syrian line. So it is conditions which evoke. Every condition is an invocation. We, as a human being, are an invocation, and our condition will evoke a response, good or bad, aided at times by voiced words of power on the part of the hierarchy. So the hierarchy participated here in the invocation of an energy which could bring triumph, could bring the solution. Pisces, through its ruler Pluto, ruling both the mass and the disciples esoterically. Interesting. Ruling the mass and the disciples esoterically necessitated the triumph of death. Not necessarily physical death leading to the dissolution of the form of man, but in the war and in the concentration camps, this did happen. It is frequently the death or ending of old forms of civilizations which cyclically come and go. Pisces' dissolution, Neptune Pralaya, ruling Pisces in a different way than Pluto does, and Pluto the finality of the death of certain forms. And these forms can be occurring on the physical plane, but also on other planes, where it's even more important to get rid of them. It is frequently the death or ending of old forms of civilizations which cyclically come and go, of religious teaching when it does not serve the need of the spiritual nature of the people, as is today the case. And so, you know, Pluto is still with us, and so is Pisces. So there are certain forms of religion in some place, DK says, all of which have outlived their spiritual usefulness, which must come to an end. So it is frequently the death or ending of old forms of civilizations which cyclically come and go, not necessarily the form of man, of religious teaching when it does not serve the need of the spiritual nature of the people, of educational processes which fail to educate the developing nature of man and serve only to delude and imprison. So many things, many forms sustaining the past or the rapidly vanishing civilization were slated for destruction. When I say this, I mean not the death of religion or of forms of thought. I mean, these must remain in some proper form. I refer here to death as the great releaser, which shatters the form and which brings death to that which is embodied. Well, perhaps releasing the religious spirit from an inadequate form, the educational spirit from an inadequate form in all the different areas of life, the forms of civilization which are serving but to imprison. It is to this philosophic death in its lowest aspect that Germany has responded. Interesting. In a negative way, of course, in a way. In a negative way. They wanted to destroy Christianity, definitely. The destruction of religion, which Germany sought to bring about, is not a prelude to the establishment of a better approach to divinity, but the effort to evoke the ancient gods. We see this in the Wagnerian operas, and people took it seriously and literally, and began to do it as a social experiment, and to make the state the supreme end of men's lives, a true and overpowering totalitarian fascism. The spirit of love and of individual right relations are not known, and those relations which are so basically characteristic of the kingdom of God. So this the destruction of religion, even resorting to philosophy, even making of Christ an Aryan kind of super god, you know, saying that, of course, Master Jesus could not have been born a Hebrew. That was impossible, and so they turned him into some kind of blonde deity and so forth. for those who still adhered to his value, saying basically that he would have taught the transition into Nazism and into the resurgence of the true Aryan which he was. You see how all that can get twisted around to delude people. There were people in Germany who were paid to delude. Goebbels was one such. Alfred Rosenberg was another. The philosopher in chief, and Goebbels the propagandist in chief. So it's this evoking the ancient gods which was the real threat, I think, because it counteracted the emergence of the soul of the planet and of the reappearance of the Christ, which was planned. If we could denigrate the Christ and all he stood for, then the ancient gods could take his place and there would be a reversion of man's quest after divinity. I think that this is very interesting material, and you know, it's the first part of the book, or even these third and fourth parts, were just packed with information about the interaction of energies. But what we find here is that DK is taking the practical turn and talking about life as it was being lived at the time that he was writing the book. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 135C, and we're on page 546. We're going to do the invocation together, and a beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 136A on page 546. So let us do the great invocation together, just to remind ourselves of where we're coming from. Talking about, you know, going against the Christ, a kind of an antichrist first ray, a reversion in a way, but really a reversion back to that which is influenced by matter and the previous solar system and by the energy of substance. But there was a victory, and now the great invocation has been released by Shambhala, and materialism has been struck its death blow, according to DK, through the release of atomic energy, provided we can prevent those weapons of mass destruction from getting into the hands of those who wish to annihilate themselves and others. We're in a very serious moment when it comes to that, but okay, at least there has been a turn. And the possibility of an entirely new spiritual civilization now looms before us and has, I think, a fairly good chance of actually appearing. So, from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, thank you. We'll go on to 136, and continuing in this interesting section concerning the different countries, their motives, their response to the energies prevalent at the time, and especially the energies on which he's concentrating, Leo, Capricorn, and Pisces. So for now, we'll say bye-bye, and we'll resume at the next occasion, hopefully soon. See you then.